हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ॐ लेट अस रीड दोस ऑल द वैल्यूज। I'm going to read from verse number 8. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogo Nama Trayodasho Dhyayaha. Radhaji, just remind people of and that. Okay, last class, we missed it last week. Just put in the group in it, Shruti group.
अमानित्वमदम्बित्वम् अहिंसा क्षान्तिरार्जवम् आचार्योपासनम् शौचम् स्थैर्यमात्मविनिग्रहः। अमानित्वमदम्बित्वम् अहिंसा क्षान्तिरार्जवम् आचार्योपासनम् शौचम् स्थैर्यमात्मविनिग्रहः। इन्द्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् अनहङ्कार एव च इन्द्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् अनहङ्कार एव च जन्ममृत्युजराव्याधि दुःखदोषानुदर्शनम् जन्ममृत्युजराव्याधि दुःखदोषानुदर्शनम् असक्तिरनभिष्वङ्गः पुत्रदारगृहादिषु असक्तिरनभिष्वङ्गः पुत्रदारगृहादिषु नित्यं च समचित्तत्वम् नित्यञ्च समचित्तत्वम् इष्टानिष्टोपपत्तिषु नित्यञ्च समचित्तत्वम् इष्टानिष्टोपपत्तिषु मयि चानन्ययोगेन भक्तिरव्यभिचारिणी मयि चानन्ययोगेन भक्ति तिरव्यभिचारिणी विविक्तदेशसेवित्वम् अरतिर्जनसंसदि विविक्तदेशसेवित्वम् अरतिर्जनसंसदि अध्यात्मज्ञाननित्यत्वम् अध्यात्मज्ञाननित्यत्वम् तत्त्वज्ञानार्थदर्शनम् तत्त्वज्ञानार्थदर्शनम् एतज्ज्ञानमिति प्रोक्तम् एतज्ज्ञानमिति प्रोक्तम् अज्ञानां यदतोऽन्यथा अज्ञानां यदतोऽन्यथा एतज्ज्ञानमिति प्रोक्तम् अज्ञानं यदतोऽन्यथा। सो एतत् ज्ञानम् इति प्रोक्तम्। सो ऑल दीस वैल्यूज एन्यूमरेटेड ऑल दीस वर्च्यूज एन्यूमरेटेड इन दिस वर्सेस फ्रॉम 8 टू द 12th आर सेड कम अंडर द कैटेगरी ऑफ द वर्ड ज्ञानम्। सो वी हैव ऑलरेडी सीन अप टू दिस अनहंकारः। So, indriyartheshu vairagyam, we have seen. Now, we have to see, please make it a point to read Swamiji's Value of Values book. If you've already completed having a thorough understanding of Amanitvam. Now you can also read Adambitvam, Ahimsa one by one, and see that next class you're thorough with Adambitvam and Ahimsa. Okay? Two values, homework. Now I'll continue with my class. So Anahankaraha we've already seen. Janma Mrit, next value is Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. What is Anahankaraha? I have already explained to you. Ahankaraha, literally speaking, Ahankaraha means knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, which obtains in the form of a thought. This self-cognition, knowledge of self-existence, rises in the form of a thought in terms of I am. This is I am, this is knowledge. This is also said to be Ahankaraha. But this is not wrong. But any attribute added to this I am becomes Ahankaraha, which is an expression of, suppose I am fat, I am tall, I am intelligent, I am bright, I am experiencer, I am seer, I am a doer, I am sufferer. Like any attribute added to I am is an erroneous notion one has about oneself, which is Ahankara. And as a result of which one can have very highly of oneself, this is Ahankara. So absence of such is absolutely one can be free from the wrong perception of oneself, the wrong notions one has about oneself only in the wake of the jnanam. But until jnanam also, understanding this problem that we already have, we can keep a low profile without being highly arrogant about our things. Already we have talked about our self-aggrandizement. So anahankaraha. So simply can be translated as absence of egoism. So what? What is absence of egoism? How are you going to give up ego? Because you're not holding on to ego. If people can say, okay, one of these values taught in the 13th chapter is anahankaraha, absence of egoism. So be free from your egoism. Give up your ahankara. Don't be too arrogant. Simply say, it's easy to say all these things. That is not the lesson here. Here we have to understand how one can free oneself from ahankara only by understanding what ahankara is. So Shastram teaches, first of all, understand what ahankara is. Once you understand what ahankara is, then you will know how it can be resolved naturally. And once ahankara being a wrong, erroneous notion, if a person has the understanding of what ahankara is, the erroneous notion one has about oneself, then all the conclusions based on one's erroneous notions also can be managed. That is what is said to be here, anahankara. Because ahankara, absence of ahankara is possible only in the wake of the jnanam. We need not work very hard. Naturally, ahankara will resolve if jnanam is there. But until jnanam, how are you handle this ahankara? Wrong notion. That's why worship, by being worshipful, by being prayerful, Pujya Swamiji used to say, even when you start worshipping Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan, seeking grace of Bhagavan to be able to live a life of dharma, that itself ahankara becomes slightly thin. Because you started seeking help means already you are handling your ahankara. That's why ahankara, anahankaraha, then keep low profile, not being boasting about one's achievements and accomplishments, with the understanding of what ahankara is anahankaraha here. Then next value. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. Is the next value. So long compound. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. So repeatedly, Anudarshanam means, Darshanam means seeing. Anudarshanam means repeatedly seeing. Repeatedly seeing means repeatedly paying attention to the problems that we have in life. What is that? Janma. See, birth is inevitable, which we did not have any say over the birth. Okay, which is not in our hands. Birth is already preordained. The present birth was ordained, so we were born. So also, when this life comes to an end, this phase of life comes to an end, death happens. As we already understood in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, death also is inevitable. Once the death happens, again birth is inevitable. So this is something, it must become really ingrained in our buddhi. Birth is followed by death. Death is followed by rebirth also. For janma. Janma is something unavoidable, constantly happening change. Okay. After birth, death will be there. After death, birth will be there. Again after that, there will be death. And again birth. Therefore, janma, birth, mrityu, death, then jara, jara, old age. What about old age? We have no choice. We have to die young, or we have to live old means you can't help. You cannot live whole life as a young person. Definitely old age is unavoidable for us. Natural phenomenon that is. Jara, old age. So it will make all old people very happy because all the young people are going to become old. The old people should be very polite to young people will be very polite to old people thinking that they are going to become old as well. Isn't it good? Jara, old age. We have to see this old age is a problem, defect. So janma, mrityuhu, death, jara, old age, then vyadhi. So now apart from this birth, death and old age, all three unpleasant things, okay? The child is born, the child does not know. We are very happy. Oh, the child has come, very nice. But really speaking, birth, death and old age. And in between, vyadhi. Vyadhi means all physical diseases. We have to add also one more thing, adhi. Adhi means mental problems. Vyadhi, adhi are twofold problems, mental and physical. So janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, these are all the defects. Then dukkham. Dukkham, grief, sorrow, sadness. I tell you, different degrees of pains and sufferings. Mental agony, dukkham. All these five factors, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha. These are all, the whole samsara is fraught with these things. What is this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths? The samsara is fraught with this birth, death, old age, disease, and mental pain. Physical pain is vyadhi. And the mental pain is, this adhi is meant by dukkham, sorrow. Samsara is definitely fraught with all these defects. Undesirable, unpleasant things. Definitely. Repeatedly one has to see these defects. Okay. Anudarshanam, repeatedly seeing. You can never expect this whole human life, irrespective of what a person has, what a person does not have, is the position of the person or not. Definitely life is fraught with these five things. You can never say a person is absolutely free from pain and suffering. No. In spite of or irrespective of one's achievements and accomplishments, these five things are inevitable. Repeatedly one has to see these defects. But janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. Why we should see that repeatedly? Because we have to see, it is said to be learning to be with the realities of life, facts, so that we can avoid living in dream world. Okay. Sometimes we forget what the situations are. We live our own dream worlds. Just to avoid living in the dream worlds, to be with the facts, to be with the realities, one has to repeatedly see these defects. One must remember, think about it. One must become a thinker. We can't afford to be non-thinking all the time. Therefore, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. Then, next. And these are all, once we come in contact with the external world, when we're interacting in this world, we're living in this world, these defects are unavoidable. The next one is asaktiranabhishvangah putradara grihadishu nityancha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu. Next is asaktihi. Asaktihi, saktihi means, saktihi means attachment, interest. Asaktihi means non-attachment, means detachment. Already we have understood vairagyam, but non-attachment. Non-attachment, I already told you, non-attachment does not mean leaving things and going away somewhere. Non-attachment implies not being dependent on other things, anything other than the self-knowledge for happiness, security and for peace. This is asaktihi. So naturally, a person will grow out of desire for things, naturally becoming disinterested in external world of objects. Not that you should not enjoy the objects. See, very, very important, not that one should develop hatred towards things, not that one should run away from things, does not mean that one should not enjoy what is available in the world. It is just something very important to understand. We are allowed to enjoy whatever is available for our enjoyment. Nothing wrong. Only thing is, we should not get enslaved by those things, that without them that you cannot survive. Okay. Not being enslaved by them means what? Becoming dependent on them for your happiness and security is attachment. So if you always remember that everything in this world is impermanent, time bound, therefore nothing can be relied upon for one's happiness. Understanding the limitation of all the objects, enjoy the objects. Then you are not dependent on them for your happiness and security. Means you, when it is available, you enjoy. If it's not available, you do not miss it. This is what is said to be non-attachment. Asaktihi anabhishvangaha putradara grihadishu. Again, abhishvangaha also means attachment, over-attachment. Anabhishvangaha, not being over-attached to one's own So, putradara grihadishu anabhishvangaha is very important to remember this correctly. As I said, Shastram itself recommends, strictly tells in Taittiriya Upanishad also, in the very opening itself, in the first chapter, it is said after, when the brahmachari finishes his studies with this, in the Gurukulam, the teacher is supposed to go back and get married and settle in life. But it's also said, even though Shastram itself recommends Grihasthashrama life, Shastram also wants the people that Grihasthashrama is important. One must do one's duties with affection, care, concern one must have for family life. One must be very responsible. One must do one's duties as a mother or a husband or a father to one family. Doing one's duties with the care and concern is different from becoming attached to the family. So putradara grihadishu anabhishvangaha, Anabhishvangaha means a person must be mature enough to remember his goal. It is very important to analyze agrastashmi to remember. Ultimately, this life is lived for discovering one's own sarupam. That is where one's real happiness is. That is where one's real peace is. That is where one's security is, really speaking. Until then, there will be fear, there will be sense of insecurity, there will be sense of unhappiness. At the same time, understanding the value of dharma, a person, see, living a life of dharma itself implies that even doing one's duties towards one's family. So doing one's duties in conformity with dharma itself makes a person do his duties properly without shirking his responsibilities, so that he expresses his concern and affection. The family does enjoy his love and warmth. There's no doubt. That does not mean one should become over-attached. It means one should not get attached in the sense one should not be dependent. One should not become enslaved by thinking that one should not be dependent on the family, wife or children or of other situations for one's happiness and security. The same thing, already what has been said, detachment, dispassion, same thing is extended here. Why? It is easy for us to not to be dependent on other things in the world for one's happiness and security. But it is very difficult not to be dependent on one's own family. Now, especially on one's own wife and children. Sometimes in the name of detachment, people ignore also family. It's also not right. That is the reason many young girls in India, they become so frightened, very possessive of their husbands and husbands, because they're very scared. This fellow may leave me and go or something like that. So that's why it's also very important for a husband or a wife to make sure that wife or husband does not feel insecure. Okay. Your concern and affection must be shown in such a way the person does not, when your commitment to dharma also should give the other person, the member of the other family, other members, that they will feel comfortable, that definitely they are in safe hands. At the same time, it is also important for a mature individual not to get too attached to family and the wife and children and husband, etc. Because attachment means then you are so dependent on them for your happiness and security. That is what is not accepted in the Shastram. In the sense, Shastram does not say you should not be attached. Shastram only tells it is very natural for one to be attached. So here your warning is given. See that you have adequate care and concern. You do your duties. You live a life of dharma. So people around you are safe and they also grow in the process. At the same time, your growth is not affected. This is anabhishvangaha. Putra dara grihadishu anabhishvangaha. The next one is nityam cha samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. This also we've already learned as the tiksha. Again it is repeated. Nityam cha samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. So ishta upapattihi, anishta upapattihi. What does it mean? So ishta upapattihi, desirable situations, occasions. Anything desirable is ishta upapattihi. Anishta upapattihi, undesirable situations. In all those situations, so in getting desirable, undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant things, and going through such situations, nityam cha samachittatvam, always entertaining mental equanimity. Samachittatvam means having the status of remaining equanimous. samachittatvam. So entertaining equanimity, being equanimous in all situations, desirable and undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant situations. Ishta anishta upapattishu nityam cha samachittatvam. Is it possible? Already we have discussed this. It's not something new. It is very difficult to remain the same in all situations. We know that. It is very easy to talk, remain the same in all situations, okay, without having elation and dejection. If I tell you, it becomes an advice for other people. So nityam cha samachittatvam ishta anishtopa pattishu. So ishta anishta upapattisu nityam samachittatvam. So remaining the same equanimous in all situations, Shastram says it is very important for every spiritual aspirant to make all possible efforts to remain the same. Why? Because why we should develop this? These situations are unavoidable. There will be Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha. We have seen it is when we interact with the world, it is unavoidable, it is inevitable for us to go through these pairs of opposites. For every human being, there will be experience of pairs of opposites. So there will be desirable and undesirable situations. But what we should do here, learn to remain the same in all situations. Why should we learn to remain the same? Because we should not forget our life is lived not only for experiencing these pairs of opposites in life. Please remember, Grihastha ashrama is not the end of life, or no ashrama is the end of life. Marriage is not the end of life for a person. Please remember, nothing is the end of life. What is the end of life? Ultimate, absolute end of human life is discovering freedom, discovering the fullness which is already there as one's own nature, which is the nature of reality, which is the nature of Bhagavan, which is the nature of essential nature of the whole, therefore which is the essential nature of one's own self. The human life is lived ultimately for this purpose only. It should not be forgotten. What is the ultimate goal, absolute goal of human life? It is this discovery of the truth. It is discovery of one's nature of being fullness. But this discovery takes a very long, because it needs amazing, tremendous mental mastery. One needs absolute mastery over tremendous amount of mental mind, mastery over one's mind and sense organs. That mastery over one's mind and sense organs does not happen overnight. It takes time. Therefore, Shastram gives us enough time for us to grow and prepare our lives, prepare our minds for this jnana. Once you remember this, my life is lived ultimately for that goal, that I should not forget that goal. It's called Purushartha Nischeha, which you have been talking in every class. Wherever possible, whenever possible, we talk about Purushartha Nischeha. Once the goal is not forgotten, goal is remembered, only in accomplishing that goal, my life becomes successful. Until then, you are not a failure. Please understand, Shastram says nobody's life is a failure at all. Whether things go right to your expectation or things do not go to your expectation doesn't matter. Still, even if your person thinks, I'm going through failure after failure after failure, I'm not succeeding in anything, I'm not successful in anything, still life is not a failure. In spite of going through life of failures, also life is not a failure. Okay, in spite of going through all undesirable situations, also life is not something to be ignored. Very important, because the success and failure is only is dependent on whether you're able to accomplish the ultimate goal or not. That is why Shastram does not say even moksha is accomplishable in one life itself. So even if a person is capable of preparing his mind for that jnanam, even then life has served its purpose. So life must be lived in such a way to prepare one's mind for jnanam. So irrespective of whatever comes in my life, whatever I go through in my life, if I live my life consciously in conformity with dharma, doing my duties appropriately, even then a person can have satisfaction, because there'll be, one can be, one knows to one's own conscience, there is the knowledge of how one lives one's life. This will bless a person with a sense of satisfaction. I have lived my life to the best of my ability, and I have lived my life prayerfully, worshipfully, in conformity with dharma. I've done my duties. Means even this living such a life makes one's life a meaningful life, successful life. In irrespective of whether you have gone through many failures in life or not. Therefore, small failures, etc., do not make the life come to an end. So life is lived ultimately for a different purpose. That is why not forgetting one's ultimate end, not losing sight of one's goal, is very important. Remembering that if a person lives, then nitya, anitya, that is, ishta, anishta, upapattishu, nityam, samachittattvam is possible. The ultimate goal is remembered. Until I accomplish that ultimate goal of moksha, until this vision becomes ascertained for me, I seem to be understanding in the classes. Oh, things become very clear for me. Yes, I am consciousness becomes very clear, but still I continue to be the same person with my own emotional issues and things like that. The reason is assimilation takes time. So until I understand the teaching, or even if I understood the teaching, until it becomes assimilated, I need to focus on preparing my mind for this jnana. My focus must be very, very clear that I have to prepare my mind, that I must be able to assimilate the teaching. And for which, how we face the situations in life, there will be desirable, undesirable situations. Already we have been taught how important it is to have Ishwara Prasada Buddhi. Prasada Buddhi is very important. How I can remain the same in all situations? If I remember everything in my life is already preordained by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, in conformity with my own Punya Papams I have in my account. This one must remember. Which means no situation happens because of somebody else's problems. We think other people have cheated me, other cheated people have betrayed me, other people have done this to me. No, that is not true. All those people who seem to be betraying, who seem to be cheating, who seem to be, or whatever, whoever you think is responsible for your sorrow, actually speaking, they're only instrumental. Please underline this sentence, okay? In Tamil, we have very beautiful saying, Nandrum Tidum Perartharavara. Definitely, what it means is, the world is not responsible for your unhappiness. World is neither a source of happiness for you. This is a statement in Tamil, which means nobody else in the world is responsible for my unhappiness. And whoever becomes specifically responsible for my unhappiness, I think, is only instrumental, ordained by natural law. The other person, other person's behavior, all our acquaintances, family members, they're all specifically chosen by order. Why this person is my wife? Why this, they are my children? Why this is some from my friends? Why these are my acquaintances? I tell you, the world is so wide. So many millions of people are living in the world. But our world is only a world of 10 significant people. Puja Swamiji used to say, how big is your world? It's only a world of 10 significant people, isn't it? We have so many people. If you work in an office, how many people you are mixing with? How many bosses you are dealing with? It's not true. Only 10 significant people. Our world is only a world of people whom we know, whom we come in contact with. Therefore, it's not a very big world. Even the world is so big, our life is only with certain people, certain behaviors. That's all. Therefore, that should not really make us gloomy and sit all the time brooding over the past. In fact, it's very important to remember, Shastram repeatedly says, whoever is you think is responsible for unhappiness or sorrow or sadness, they're only instrumental for you to go through what you have in store. Understand? Similarly, even if you enjoy pleasures also, other people are only instrumental for you to go through what you have in store. Your own punyam becomes manifest in the form of pleasure or desirable situations for which others become instrumental. The situations become instrumental. In the same way, people around you, other situations and things what you enjoy become instrumental for you to go through what you have already in store. Pain and pleasure, both you have already earned. Your own punyam and papam. You have got very good parents. You have got very good food. You get good health. First of all, good health. All grace. It's all punyam you have earned. And you also go through some unpleasant situations. It's all again Bhagavan ordained. Why Bhagavan ordained? Our own unknowingly, knowingly, intentionally, unintentionally done, previously done karmas. We do not have any say over the past. That's why Shastram says we do not have any say over the past. Nor do we have any say over the present also. But we do have say over the future. That is why now at present how I must act. What is coming now, I'm going through now, I do not have any say over it. But still Shastram says, you can use your willpower. You can use your knowledge of right and wrong. At least present actions you can take care of. You live prudently in conformity with Dharma, seeking Bhagavan's grace intensely, prayingly to be able to live a life of Dharma so that your agami karma phalam is taken care of. Okay? So this life becomes a meaningful life. How should you see? If everything is ordained by Bhagavan and everything is subject to change also, even though all these situations, desirable and undesirable situations are coming in life, they're all, already we have seen this, I've had to repeat the same old thing. They're all of the nature of coming and going. Agama, apayinaha, anityaha, impermanent. Therefore, they're also ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Bhagavan is the karma phala data. The Bhagavan in the form of order. We cannot go and file a case against Bhagavan. He is not available for us. He is there in the form of very law and order. Puja Swamiji used to say, can you ever go and file a case against the fire for burning your finger? Oh, fire has burned my finger. I'm not very unhappy with that fire. Poor fire will say, no, I have not burnt your finger. You touched me, so I burnt your finger. Which means, why? Burning is very nature. These are Puja Swami used to explain Dharma. Okay, Dharma, Dharma rakshati rakshitaha. Dharma protects the one who protects. At the same time, Dharma punishes also very severely the one who goes against Dharma. That is the nature of the Dharma. Yes, so Dharma is. Therefore, it is repeatedly said, Bhagavan in the form of law and order is the ordainer of the results of actions. Therefore, Bhagavan is karma phala data. That is why we look at everything as prasada. Every situation is prasada. Then with this attitude of being able to look at everything as prasada, then if we can handle, so then it is possible for one to remain equanimous without elation and dejection. Isn't it? సో నిత్యం చ సమచిత్తత్వం ఇష్ట అనిష్ట ఉపపత్తిషు విత్ ప్రసాద బుద్ధి ట్రైంగ్ టు రిమైన్ ద సేమ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్ విత్ సేమ్నెస్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ అక్సెప్టింగ్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ప్రసాద విల్ హెల్ప్ వన్ మేనేజ్ ది సిచ్యువేషన్స్ దట్ వన్ క్యాన్ రిమైన్ విథౌట్ ఎలేషన్ ఇన్ డిసరబుల్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్ విథౌట్ డిజెక్షన్ ఇన్ అన్డిసరబుల్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్ వన్ క్యాన్ హ్యాండిల్ సమచిత్తత్వం ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ One must make all possible efforts to remain equanimous in situations for which one needs to even seek Bhagavan's grace. One must intensely pray for that. One should not allow oneself to go mad by not being able to handle situations. No, this life is not for that. Life, we have some very much bigger goal in life. Let situations come, so what? As long as you do not do anything wrong, to your best of your conscience, you know you do not do anything wrong. Therefore, with this understanding, one must live one's life. This God, yet remaining the same, remaining equanimous in all situations, with the sameness of mind, with the understanding of being able to look at everything as Bhagavan's prasada in situation. This ishta anishta upapattishu Nityam samachittatvam is another value. So what is the next value? Let us see here. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktirauya bhicharini. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktirauya bhicharini. It's a beautiful prayer, the value here. Mayi cha, Bhagavan says, in me, ananya yogena, avyabhicharini bhaktihi. The two highly emphatic words there. See, vyabhicharini bhaktihi means not being stable in one's devotion. Avyabhicharini bhaktihi means stable in one's devotion. Sometimes we pray, we worship, we get very excited. One day we go to temple and come back and do a japa. Next day we'll give it up because I'm not interested. Bhagavan has not protected me. We lose. Such things should not be there. There must be devotion. Devotion means, what is devotion again? I've already told you. Being committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan's Swarupam, obtaining as our own Swarupam is real devotion. This is what is said to be in Tamil also, holding on to Bhagavan's feet. In all Indian languages, we have this expression, holding on to Bhagavan's feet. You know, in Indian culture, we say this, holding on to Bhagavan's feet, holding on to Bhagavan's feet. What is holding on to Bhagavan's feet? Holding on to Bhagavan's feet means solely depending upon only Bhagavan for one's security and happiness. Peace. Whatever other things, just because we are dependent only upon Bhagavan for happiness, security and peace, that does not mean we should be indifferent to other people. We can be kind, compassionate, affectionate, caring and other to other people. But dependence must be only upon Bhagavan, not upon the world or other things in the world for happiness and security. Emotional dependence must be upon Bhagavan, but be with the world. Be with the world, live in the world, okay, have concern, be compassionate, be kind, nice, be nice to everybody, follow dharma. The following dharma itself is, you are doing good for the society. At the same time, you are not dependent on them emotionally for your happiness and security. That is what is very important. So this commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, that remembering repeatedly, I am living this life ultimately for discovering Bhagavan's Swarupam, obtaining as my own Swarupam. In philosophical language, it is knowledge of the truth. In religious language, it is knowledge of Bhagavan, Bhagavat Sakshatkara. Otherwise, he said to be Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam. This life is lived for that. Whether you like it or not, this is the fact. Life is lived for discovering fullness, discovering happiness, discovering peace, discovering absolute security in terms of discovery of the truth. So being committed to this pursuit of jnanam is holding on to Bhagavan's feet tightly. And once you hold on to Bhagavan's feet for in terms of being committed to the pursuit of jnanam, then naturally you strictly follow the way of life also enjoined by the scripture. That is, you live a life of dharma, which is again seeking, tapping, means of tapping Bhagavan's grace. Now, here what does this line says? It's called avyabhicharini bhaktihi. Vyabhicharini bhaktihi means different. Okay, not being stable once in devotion. And avyabhicharini bhaktihi means always being very firm in one's commitment to the pursuit of knowledge in terms of holding on to Bhagavan's feet. Avyabhicharini bhaktihi. Then ananya yogena. How is it possible for one to have avyabhicharini bhaktihi? Ananya yogena. Mayi cha. Bhagavan says cha and mayi ananya yogena. Not having anything else other than Bhagavan in one's mind, for one's not being dependent on anything other than Bhagavan for one's happiness or security. Being committed to the pursuit of jnanam is said to be, being living one's life, the commitment to Bhagavan is said to be mahicha ananya yogena avyabhicharini bhaktihi. Not anya yogena, ananya yogena. Means without being emotionally dependent on anything else for one's happiness and security, then being totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, commitment to the bhakti, Bhagavan, is said to be ananya yogena avyabhicharini bhaktihi. So living such a life of, see, without being dependent on anything else, living one's life with a total commitment to the pursuit of Bhagavan, that is knowledge, does not mean one should deprive oneself of enjoyment of simple pleasures also in life. Whatever pleasures are available in life, Bhagavan has blessed you with, definitely you can enjoy those pleasures. At the same time, be conscious of time, that every, conscious of the fact that everything in the world is time bound. With the understanding, so all the time reminding oneself of limitations of everything, and with a total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, being dependent only upon Bhagavan for one's happiness and security, when the life is lived, that is the, then this value is followed. What is this value? Ananya yogena mayi ananya yogena avyabhicharini bhaktihi. With this, we have completed all the values. No, one more this thing, sir. Then, vivikta desha sevitvam. So, vivikta desha sevitvam. Vivikta deshaha means a solitude. So, learning to remain in solitude. Resorting to a solitude means immediately don't think of going away to some jungle somewhere nearby. At home itself, it is very important to learn to be by oneself. Okay? Even at home, when you are living with your own family, do your duties, do the needful for the family, be with them, spend time with them, and you must also have at least a short while, some time, just to be by yourself. The most difficult thing is being by oneself. You know that. Doesn't make, so vivikta desha sevitta means resorting to solitude. Oh, resorting to solitude, let me think of which forest I can go to. Himalayas or Rishikesh or to some other place. No, even if you go physically traveling all the way, taking a ticket, and there you'll be thinking of people at home. it is of no use. So here, Vivitta Desha Sevitvam, how we should take it in modern days. Learning to be by oneself, at least for some time, without thinking of people around you, without thinking of anything else that you are doing, just learning to be by yourself. In order to be by yourself, it is not possible. It is not possible for you to be by yourself. Okay? Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. At home itself, just go, be in your room for 10-15 minutes. Okay, but it's not possible for young people because where children need your attention. I'm just talking about you understand this thing, at least when they're sleeping, when they're not troubling you. See that you make them feel comfortable. Then you sit on your own for 5-10 minutes or 15 minutes. Just learn to be by yourself without entertaining any other thoughts. That is why puja is said always. Puja, every day worshipping Bhagavan, doing a small puja or chanting, doing japa, etc. Regular discipline. This is how I have to do. Get up in the morning, have shower, then doing a puja also. Is puja time, you are just, you are there and you are with Bhagavan. So puja is one of the ways of learning to be by oneself. You cannot just be by yourself. It takes time. It takes very long time. So not physically sitting yourself by yourself. It is learning to be by yourself mentally. Not about physically going and locking the room and sitting in darkness. People, sick people also do that. They go to the rooms and then lock themselves and sit there unhappily. That is not being by yourself. Being by yourself means learning to be by yourself mentally. And for which one needs, that is why worship helps. Worship, prayer, etc. helps you to learn to be by yourself. Okay? Vivikta Desha Sevitvam means how we can plan, how I can learn to be by myself. Even at home, finishing all the work, then doing the needful to the family. I must find time, some time just to be on my own. Not for very long. Not frightening people at home, okay? Sometimes when people do this, people at home will think that you are something wrong with you. You're not caring for them. You just go on your own and go and sit somewhere else. They will mistake. So people need attention and care. So without frightening them, actually spiritual aspirants have more responsibility. You know that? You have greater responsibility of not affecting other people's peace at home also. Because they're simple people. They need love. They need warmth. They need care. They need concern. So give them, do your best, do the needful. Then you see that you also look after yourself. That is why better is what? Sit and do the puja. At least during the puja, doing the japam, you are with yourself. In puja, You are with yourself. It is not possible for one to be by oneself. So learn to be with, just only with Bhagavan in puja. When you're doing archana or chanting, you see your mind is only with the chanting. That is also, you're not with the people around. You're not with people associated with you or other work you're doing. Your attention is only with Bhagavan then. With the mantra you're chanting, the verses you're chanting. So worship and prayer helps a person to learn to be by oneself. Learning to be by oneself is called Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. That is what is said to be resorting to a solitude. So Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratihi Jana Samsadi. Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratihi Jana Samsadi. See, aratihi, janasamsadi means not having any craving to be in the company of people. Aratihi means not having the craving to be in the company of people. You can enjoy the company of people. At the same time, they need not be craving to be in the company of people. Some people miss social life, they miss so much. all the protests now, Bhagavan himself has created such a beautiful opportunity to learn Vikta Desha Sevitva. Okay? Just be by yourself at home. Even at home, keep a distance, 3 feet distance between two people. With the masks, with the gloves, no physical touch. Amazing. Bhagavan could not tolerate the people, all atrocities. He thought how to keep these fellows away from each other. Brought Corona, sent the Corona Devi to Loka, is Bhuloka. Okay? So social distancing, nature forced social distancing. We don't listen. And we are not, now people miss social life. That's why they all protest as the government is conspiring against them. Anyway, you don't need to. So all these protests are what? Expressions of course, they said, people have their own views, different ideas. I'm not against anything. What I'm saying, Vivikta Desh Arathihi Jana Samsadi, the value here is, sometimes people always want social life. They cannot be just by themselves. Arathihi Jana Samsadi. That does not mean you should be very unfriendly with the people. See, Shastram does not teach unfriendliness. You must be very friendly, very accommodative, very caring, very affectionate. Be with the people when they're available. When there's a need for you to be in society, be there. At the same time, when one must also learn not to be craving for the social life. Is what is said to be arathihi janasamsadi. Okay? Avoidance of craving for social life and being in the company of people. So that one must also learn to be by oneself. It's a beautiful discipline, beautiful value, because in due course of time, all these disciplines followed in life will help you finally to be able to achieve what you need to achieve in life. Definitely we follow all these values. If it is going to help me, it's only for my own betterment, my own happiness, my own peace. Shastram teaches these values means naturally I can strictly follow them. So Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Arathihi Jana Samsadi. Next. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Now, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. It's a beautiful value again. Tattva Jnana Artha Darshanam. Finally, he has, by following all those values which were enumerated above, finally, following all those virtues, having those virtues and values, should culminate in what? Culminate in the clear understanding. Understanding that knowledge being the only means of the attainment of moksha. Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Constancy, firmness in the knowledge of the self. Adhyatma Jnanam means self-knowledge. We say knowledge of the reality should take place only as the knowledge of the self. There's no other way of attaining the knowledge of the truth. So Brahma Jnanam, how can one have Brahma Jnanam? Knowledge of the reality of the universe is only in the form of knowledge of one's own self. So Adhyatma Jnanam, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatva means one must have firmness in the self-knowledge. One must have clear, doubt-free, ascertained knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self. This is said to be Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. One should have doubt-free, clear knowledge of one's own self being Atma. the all-pervasive reality, consciousness implied by the self term Atma. Definitely, I am consciousness. Okay, incident, I am permanent eternal consciousness, incidentally having this body, mind, sense complex. This jnana must be there. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam. So in the wake of which one must be able to have object, one must be able to be objective towards one's own body, mind, sense complex also. The objectivity is possible only in clear knowledge, firm knowledge. Therefore, adhyatma jnana nityatvam. So constancy, firmness in the knowledge of this self. Thereby, once a person has this firmness in knowledge of the self, then naturally, tattva jnana artha darshanam. Tattva jnana artha darshanam means what? Jnana artha. So, being able to see very clearly the purpose, the object of the knowledge of the truth. Tattva jnanam means knowledge of the truth. Under artha means the purpose. The purpose, the object of the self-knowledge. Meaning of the self-knowledge means the purpose, the object of self-knowledge. Darshanam is having an insight, being able to see, the purpose of the purpose, the benefit or object of the knowledge of the truth. Tattva jnanam means knowledge of the truth. Darshanam is an insight into. Artha means the object. An insight into the object of the self-knowledge. Knowledge of the truth. Which means clearly, doubtlessly seeing the object or purpose of the self-knowledge. So constancy, firmness in self-knowledge and seeing very clearly the purpose of the self-knowledge also is very important for a spiritual aspirant. Yetati jnanam iti proktam. All these are said to be jnanam. And anything other than this is what? Ajnanam. Now you can remember, whatever is said here is jnanam. Anything other than this is what? Anything opposite to this is ajnanam. Ajnanam. Etat jnanam iti proktam. So this, all this which have been enumerated now, all of them together said to be all these 22 values together are said to be jnanam. Jnanam iti proktam. Yad anyatha ajnanam. And what is, whatever is opposed to this, whatever contradicts this is said to be ignorance, ajnanam. So usually, knowledge of the truth alone is said to be jnanam. Isn't it? But here, all these are very important for a spiritual aspirant, ultimately to accomplish, to be able to accomplish his goal. For all of them also, all these values also together are said to be constituting jnanam. So tattva jnanartha adhyatma jnana nityatvam, firmness of self-knowledge. It's very important for a person to understand that one must have a firm, doubt-free, clear self-knowledge. And also one must see the purpose, the objective. One must have an insight into the object of this self-knowledge also. Is it clear? I have not explained a lot. I've done enough. So I give you some homework to do some reading Swamiji's book also. Okay. My request to all of you is next week, please see, you have learnt at least 1 week sum I'm giving. See that you all read Value of Values book, at least 2-3 values. I really wanted to assimilate this. It makes you think a lot. Okay, now I'm going to repeat again all the values for you to be able to memorize.
Amanitvam adambhitvam ahimsakshantirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyamatma vinigraha.
So in this one verse, we have 9 values. Amanitvam, number 1, humility, absence of self-conceit. Then adambitvam, unpretentiousness. Ahimsa, non-hurting, non-violence. Kshantihi, forgiveness, forbearance, endurance. Arjavam, straightforwardness, uprightness, nobility. 5. Acharya Upasanam, respect to the tradition and the shastram, thereby respect for the teacher. Shaucham, inner outer cleanliness, internal external cleanliness. Sthairyam, steadfastness, firmness. Firmness, again, I told you, being firm and consistent in one's accomplishing one's purpose. Being focused minded. Asthairyam, Atma Vinigraha. Atma Vinigraha, again, self mastery. Mastery over one's own self, which is mind, body, and sense organs. 9 values. The next one.
Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrutyu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam.
So indriyartheshu vairagyam. Indriyartheshu vairagyam. So dispassion towards the sense objects. Anahankaraha, understanding ahankaraha, thereby understanding what ahankaraha is, thereby keeping a low profile. Anahankaraha evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, repeatedly seeing the defects of samsara in terms of birth, death, old age, disease and sorrow. So we have, in second verse, we have 4 values. Indriyartheshu vairagyam, anahankaraha, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Indriyartheshu vairagyam, anahankaraha, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. 3 values we have. 3 plus how many? 9. 12. The next. Asaktihi anabhishwangaha putradara grihadishu. This can be taken as 1 or 2. Nityamcha samachittatvam ishta anishta upapattishu. Number 2. Here we have 3 values again. Or 2 we can make it. Then mayicha ananya yogena bhaktihi avyabhicharini. First one value. So, being dependent only upon Bhagavan for one's happiness and security, with the total commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge, which is the next value. Okay, mayicha ananya yogena bhaktihi, ananya yogena bhaktihi, avyabhicharini, ananya yogena avyabhicharini bhaktihi. Means being dependent only on Bhagavan for one's happiness and security, thereby, with the total commitment to the pursuit of Bhagavan. which is Avyabhicharani Bhakti. Then, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratir Jana Samsari. So, resorting to solitude without craving for the social life and company of people. So, we have two values here. Then, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. So, firmness in self-knowledge, constancy or firmness in the knowledge of the self, then Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam, having an insight into the purpose of the self-knowledge, attainment of the self-knowledge. That's all. Here we have two values. Now we can count totally how many of them are there. Yetat Jnanam Iti Proktam. This has been said to be the Jnanam. Yad Ataha Anyata Atonyata Ajnanam. So what anything that is opposed to it is said to be ignorance. Here ends all these values which come under the category of Jnanam. Now we'll see the next verse. Now we are going to understand the most important subject matter. Now what it is? Next is Jnayam. Ultimately, what is that which is to be known? What is that which is to be known ultimately is Jnayam. Jnayam is a potential passive participle, which means to be known. What is to be known? What is that by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? Is Jnayam. So the Jnayam, Atma, Purushaha, already we have seen other two words. Prakritihi Purushaha, Jnanam Jnayam, Kshetrajnaha Kshetram. He presented three sets of words. Do you remember in the very beginning? Now you have to remember Kshetrajnaha Purushaha Jnayam. All the three words mean the same. Kshetrajnaha Purushaha Jnayam. Purushaha is the reality, the all pervasive reality is said to be Purushaha. And it is this all pervasive reality implied by the term Purushaha is said to be this truth of the knower, Kshetrajna, knower of the Kshetram. And it is this Kshetrajna who has to be understood by us. Therefore, Jnayam, Purushaha, Kshetrajna, all the three words mean the same. Now we are going to understand what is Kshetrajna. Who is Kshetrajna? Who is the knower of the Kshetram? We understood Kshetram is something to be, that which is, which comes under the category of the known. That which comes under the category of the known is Kshetram. And now the knower of that Kshetram is Kshetrajna. Is Kshetrajna alone is said to be the Purushaha. The Purushaha is the one who has to be known. Jnayam. What is Jnayam? Purushaha. We'll read this verse and maybe we can continue in the next class. Jnayam yattat pravakshyami yajnatvamrutam ashnute anadimat param brahma nasattana saduchyate. Hereafter we are going to have beautiful verses revealing the nature of the reality, which is our own Swarupam. Jnayam yattat pravakshyami. Jnayam yattat pravakshyami. Yajnatvamrutam ashnute. Yajnatvamrutam ashnute. Anadimat param brahma. Anadimat param brahma. Nasattana saduchyate. So here Bhagavan says, Jnayam yat tat pravakshyami. Hereafter all of you must wake up. It's a time to conclude the class. But still I request you, hereafter, we have to listen to these classes very carefully. Why? Bhagavan himself says, Yate Gneyam Tate Pravakshyami. Arjuna, I shall explain to you what is that which is to be known. Yate Gneyam, that which is to be known, Tate Pravakshyami. I shall explain that which is to be known by you ultimately. Why? He says, Yati Jnatva, by knowing which, okay, by knowing which, Amritam Ashnute, Yajnatva Amritam Ashnute, by knowing which alone a person accomplishes Mokshaha, the immortality. Okay, I shall explain that which is to be known, by knowing which a person attains amrutattvam, immortality, dimokshaha. I'm giving you the literal meaning today. I'll explain to you in the next class. Now, so jnayam yattat pravakshyami, yajnatva amrutam ashnute. And what is that? He says, anadimat param brahma. Anadimat means Adimat means that which has a beginning. Anadimat means beginningless reality. Anadimat. You know this mat pratyaya, gunavat, buddhimat, bhaktimat. Is that anadimat? Param Brahma is a neutral gender word. Therefore, anadimat param Brahma, absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, which is of the nature of beginninglessness, a beginningless absolute reality implied by the term Brahma. Anadimat means beginningless. Param Brahma, absolute reality implied by the term Brahma. Anadimat param Brahma na sat. Na sat nasadutyache. Nasattanasaduchyate, which is neither mithya nor tucham. Brahman, which is distinct from mithya, which is neither existent nor non-existent. Na satta na asat uchyate. Na satta na asat uchyate. Literal translation is what? Which is neither existent nor non-existent. I'll explain the meanings of these words, existent, non-existent, etc. next class. Anadimat param Brahma, the beginningless reality, which is the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, which is neither existent nor non-existent. What does he mean by satta, asatya, etc.? I'll explain next class. It needs, hereafter we need proper unfoldment of every verse. In the values which we have seen, I have given a very brief note of those values and leaving you with the value of values book for you to go through again. See that definitely you go through those values. Read one value, take one value, read again and again and again. You may think, what is there for me to understand? Why should I read so many times? Please do read it again and again. One by one, all the values have to be understood thoroughly as Swamiji unfolded in that book. Then hereafter, this jnayam, now it is going to be unfoldment of your own sorupam, which is Bhagavan sorupam. So he says, now hereafter, yattat jnayam, that which is to be known, I shall explain, Arjuna, by knowing which a person accomplishes the ultimate end in terms of amrutattvam, that is immortality, attainment of moksha. Moksha is otherwise said to be immortality. And what is that absolute, what is that which is to be known? Absolute reality, param. What is param? That param alone is implied by the term Brahma, param Brahma. What is that Parambrahma? It is beginningless reality. So the beginningless absolute reality implied by the term Parambrahma is something to be known, which I am going to explain here. I am going to unfold it to you, by discovering which a person accomplishes the absolute end in terms of Amritatvam, immortality. That Brahman is neither existent nor non-existent. What does he mean by Satta or Asat? I'll explain in the next class. So next class, I'll begin from this verse only. Okay? I only introduced the verse today. I have not done any unfoldment. I will do it in the next class. We'll start from Gnyayam next class. So all right, Ajay? Okay. I tell you, sometimes you may feel a little repetitive, or things that just what we know is repeated. I'm not repeating. Bhagavan repeats, Krishna repeats, Bhagavad Gita repeats, so I'm repeating. I'm going following the order of the verses. Sometimes we may think we already know things. Doesn't matter. Let us listen with patience. Again, it's a lesson for us to be learn to be patient also. Sometimes we do feel a little bored with the classes because repetition. Because imagine for me how it feels. That's why I'm also very fast sometimes. Because for me it's also repetition. But still we should not have that such a buddhi. Such thinking. Even I should not do this. I'm sure definitely 13th chapter will really give us something different. Will enhance our understanding what we have got until the 12th chapter. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Please wait 1 second. See, there's a group, they read Gita home study on Sundays. People were very keen to join. Please feel free to join them. It will be very useful for you to assimilate the teaching. Okay? We want, please ask Matthew or they can help you with the numbers. You can join the group. It's going to happen in another half an hour's time. You can have a cup of tea and join them. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.